نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send peace and blessings upon our beloved messenger, Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who subhanallah, in an authentic narration, when he was informed of the tremendous bounties and rewards that will be given to his community for saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his name is mentioned, according to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he made sujood al-shukr, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those blessings and bounties just by saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon his blessed family al-Itriya, and upon those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who followed them until the end of time. Indeed, we know that we are, as a community, held to a great responsibility, such that in the Quran that responsibility is referred to as a trust. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. Many scholars, al-Tabari mentions, refer to the amana that was given to the heavens and the earth was the amana of this da'wah, of this deen, and the heavens and the earth refused it. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded to spread this message of Islam in numerous places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, regardless of the situation, once the order was given, وَأَنذِرْ عَشْرَتِكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, to be public and to be delivered as a spiritual agitator, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never stepped away from being someone who calls to Allah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in describing him as fulfilling this trust, he says, وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the Prophet is constant in calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by an extension, we are also, as a community, commanded to adhere to those principles and to be, whether verbally or silently, callers and reminders, spiritual agitators to a world which is completely caught up in a monoculture of consumption and investment in the exterior. We are adherents of that important message, as well as commanded to be carriers of the trust of da'wah. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was sitting with his companion and he requested his companion to recite the Quran to him, and he recited Surat Nisa, we know that subhanallah, when he reached the verse فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا, when he came to this verse that said, we will bring prophets as witnesses against their communities, and we will bring you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a witness against your community, he said, like, stop. And he said, فَإِذَا عَيْنَاهُ تَدْرِفَانِ, like, I saw him weeping, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know in numerous narrations we are threatened if we fail to uphold this important trust In other, some places in the Quran, وَيَسْتَبْرِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. You'll be replaced by other people. The blessing of Islam can be taken from us if we fail to adhere to that trust and uphold that trust. As well as the hadith of Imam al-Tirmidhi, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet said, لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You must invite to the good and you must forbid the evil. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow punishment, azab, to fall upon you. And you will begin to beg Allah to remove this punishment from you, and it will not be answered. This dua will not be heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because da'wah is a form of dhikr. And we know that the remembrance of Allah is so important. The hadith of Sahih Muslim, that the hour will not start until there's no one left to remember Allah on the face of the earth. Because the purpose of creation is ibadah and worship. وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Therefore, the true utility and agency of the creation will be done. Because no one will be remembering Allah, therefore the end of creation will start. Subhanallah. Based on the remembrance of Allah. There are a number of things that shaitan tries to do to keep us as a community from upholding this important amana. We're going to talk about those in the second khutbah. That oftentimes we're so busy fighting each other, we're so busy amplifying what are really minute divisions, or so preoccupied with our own sense of self-worth, that we fail to realize that shaitan has tricked us and caused us to turn against each other. As one recent convert told me, I never experienced a love like I experienced in the Muslim community, yet I've never seen a community so successful in hating itself than the Muslim community. And if we look in America, we have to wake up and realize maybe we're failing. Because every city we go to, we find new masjids breaking off of old masjids, new masjids breaking off of the new masjids would break off the old masjids. It's like a virus. And when you ask people, subhanAllah, like, why did you start your own masjid? It's for the most mundane reasons. Or why did you break away from this group and start your own group? It's for the most mundane reasons. Reasons that could have easily been worked out if we had the language of conflict transformation, not conflict resolution. And a community which is invested in its nafs is a community that's quick to split. But a community that understands the importance of its unity and the greatness of the trust that it upholds, a prophetic trust, will be very, very careful of allowing itself to split. But first, what are some of the qualities we should think about in the Quran to be effective carriers of this amana that the heavens and the earth, subhanAllah, refuse to take? What are the qualities that we should be aspiring to? Because da'wah is an outcome of a deliberate process. Oftentimes we put the cart before the horse. We think that da'wah just happens. But da'wah is natija, is an outcome of a set of optics that have been put in place and then are topped off, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَسْكَ لَا يُوَفِّقَنَا. And there's a few obstacles to this also. So sometimes I remember early on, after I had converted to Islam, I went into a grocery store. There was a brother, I knew him from college, and he was selling all kind of, we used to call his grocery store Haramco. And subhanAllah, like specializing in all of the haram, you know? So I said to him, hey, I'm new at this, like I'm not the most, you know, knowledgeable Muslim, but I don't think you're supposed to be selling this stuff that's like destroying communities. And his response was, Suhaib, you know, we're not responsible for that. The Prophet has passed, alayhi salatu wasalam. Bukhari lived his life. Salahuddin Ayyubi came and went. Sayyidina Ali came and went. Like Sayyida Fatima, Sayyida Zainab, all of these great people, they laid out the path for us. I'm just a simple store owner. I have no responsibility to the da'wah anymore. Like, this was legitimately his argument. And maybe sometimes it's because we just don't feel like we're good enough. You know, we're not confident because of our own mistakes. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Every single one of you are responsible for relating on behalf of me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I can bear witness to this. I've seen people become Muslim because of their interaction with righteous people. And I've seen quite a number of people accept Islam because of their interactions with Muslims who may not be, well, you know, the most adherent. As one of our teachers used to say in Egypt, Fusaqa'una awliya'ul kuffar. He used to say that our sinners are the first line of wilaya, being nearer to God for sinners who aren't believers. Meaning that sinners who aren't believers may in fact find more intersectionality with people who are not so pious. And through that interaction will find, mashallah, a way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which they will achieve, inshallah, mulukut, inshallah, arabaniya. So never underestimate your importance and who you are. But what are some of the qualities that we should be thinking about? The first is Allah says in Surah Yusuf, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. In this verse in Surah Yusuf, Allah lays out the first foundations of what we need, the ingredients to fulfill the amana of da'wah, of calling to Allah. One of the concerns I have with the Muslim community in America now is that with its political engagement, with its activism, and even within its religious engagement, it may not be trying to steer people to God. But we are a community that's tethered by our faith and constantly commanded to be social, political, and religious interlocutors to remind people, أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى ثُمَّ أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى, to remind people of Allah. So one of the signs of my sincere engagement is I don't have to be explicit, but I remind people, وَأَنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ, that there is a meeting with Allah. That's why every prayer we say, Maliki Yawm al-Din. So what are those qualities mentioned in Surah Yusuf? Number one is Basira. And Basira has two meanings according to one of my teachers. The first is to have knowledge of the people that we deal with. Oftentimes we want to impose our cultural understandings on people, or we allow our sense of cultural superiority, and I can say this especially as a white man in America, to blind us from being good listeners and understanding other people's cultures and appreciating their cultures, and then being able to craft a message which is culturally relevant and appealing to people. Where is the Muslim position on environmental resilience? Where is the Muslim position on what's happening to immigrants and people being separated from their children at the border? When our beloved messenger said, "Man farraqa bayna walidi wa waladiha," whoever separates between a mother and her daughter, farraqa Allah, Allah will separate him from what he loves in the hereafter. This is an authentic hadith. Where is our messaging on issues that are plaguing America? The shutdown. But instead, we're still talking about Big Macs and if music is allowed and where our pants are and whose aqidah is sahiha. Don't get me wrong, foundational aqidah is important. But we're seeing groups even within the Sunni tradition arguing over issues of aqidah, which traditionally they didn't argue over till around 200 something years ago. So we're not able to craft a message that speaks to the people that we live with. Where's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? We know in the hadith of Abu Dawud, this older man asked him, "Can I kiss my wife while I'm fasting?" "No problem." The same gathering, someone asked him, a young man, "Can I kiss my spouse while I'm gathering?" "No." Imam al-Aini al-Hanafi, كان هو علامة ما شاء الله, and he's buried behind al-Azhar al-Sharif in his masjid. In his explanation of Bukhari, he said because the Prophet understands the old man, he doesn't have the same energy as a young man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the answer changes because the Prophet knows people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not away from the people. He's aware of what the people need. Min anfusihim. He's from the people. وما أرسلنا من رسول إلا بلسان قومه. Every messenger was able to speak the cultural language of the people that they were sent to. And that's why in the hadith of Jibreel, we miss something very important. That Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, when he came to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wore the clothes of the Arabs. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. And the angels, they obey Allah. They don't disobey Allah. So we learn from this min bab al-tamthil, that Sayyidina Jibreel as a da'iyah, as a caller, he comes to a people in the halal, in the permissible, right, with what they understand. That's why Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that in the lands of non-Muslims, it may be wiser for the Muslim to dress as the non-Muslims for the goal of qurba, bringing people to Allah, as long as it doesn't involve disobedience of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other meaning of basira is to have knowledge of two things. Number one, the fardu ayn. In my individual practice, in my individual liturgy, I know how to worship Allah. I have a foundational text in aqidah that I've learned. I've learned a basic text in fiqh. And alhamdulillah, I know how to pass this religion on to my children. I can read the Quran, alhamdulillah. The foundational issues of knowledge I've worked on. But also it means that when I have a need, for example at work, people asking questions, maybe your children have heard things at school, I have access to religious education and religious educators. As I told some imams recently in a training program, you know, your job is to be like tech support for the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. People have issues, they have access to you, they can call you. The second, أنا ومن اتبعني, is group work. That I'm able to work in a group. SubhanAllah, it's really easy. I remember, mashallah, we had a great brother. He was incarcerated for almost 35 years, mashallah. He accepted Islam in prison. And if you've read the ISPU study, you know that this notion that Muslim prisoners are somehow more apt to extremism is not supported empirically. In fact, the empirical data shows that Muslim prisoners have a lower chance of recidivity than any other religion in America, subhanAllah. But I remember he came to me and he's like, I need to talk to you. I said, sure. He said, it's a lot harder to practice outside of prison. I said, of course. You know, you used to be in a zawiya. MashaAllah, you used to be in a place like the ma'bad. You know, you don't have anybody engaging you. You're isolated. The food's not very good, so it's easy to fast. Alhamdulillah. People not engaging with you. But now the dunya comes. He said, yeah, wallahi, the dunya is a beast. And I said, the best thing you can do is surround yourself with good people. Alhamdulillah, he found, mashallah, a beautiful wife. Alhamdulillah, great sister, great brother, and a great community. Why do we underestimate our need for one another? Is because we're arrogant. When I'm arrogant, I don't feel I need you. And when I don't feel I need you, I dismiss you. But if I'm humble, and I hold myself to being humble, وَخْفُدْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, then I'm going to value engagement in people. You can't do it alone. Sayyidina Umar used to say that Islam is jama'ah, right? Islam is the group. So we need to work on three areas. Number one, honest communication. It's very important that we communicate. We talk with one another. Number two, we eschew assumptions which are evil. إِيَّاكُمْ وَسُوءَ الظَّنِ. Prophet said, be careful of bad assumptions about people. One time I gave the khutbah and a brother came to me. I never met this brother before in my life. And he said, you are attacking me on the minbar. I said, how? He said, because last night I got into a fight with my son and you said this. I said, how did I know you got in a fight with your son? I don't even know you have a son. I don't even know you. I said, I apologize if that's how you've understood it, but I want to remind you, we've never met before. And the last is to control anger and not to feel personally offended. That's why Sayyidina Umar used to say, لا يفلح قوم ليس لديهم ناصحين. Like people won't succeed who don't have interlocutors. People won't succeed who don't have people who engage them. The last two, inshallah, and we'll finish the other three perhaps in the future, is tazkiyat an-nafs. It's working on my soul. We're going to talk about that in the second khutbah. And the last, وَمَا أَنَا مِنْ مُشْرِكِينَ تَمْيِيزِ, is to distinguish myself morally and ethically from people who do not believe in the same faith and morals I believe in as a Muslim. So when Muslims hold those in political office accountable for saying things which contradict our morality and our ethics, that's a good thing. When we remind people that we cannot sacrifice our commitment to Allah for the sake of cultural or social agency or political mobility, that's a good thing if it's done with sincerity and fidelity. مَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, I'm different than those people who are not focusing on Allah and living a purpose-driven life, not in an arrogant way, but in a benevolent way, which reflects my foundations in my faith. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us istiqama ala ta'ati. كما نسأله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجمعنا مع حبيبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما آمنا به ولم نراه. أقول قولي هذا, أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا رسول الله, اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه في الأولين وفي الآخرين وفي الملأ الأعلى يا رب العالمين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send peace and blessings upon our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the family and companions of the Prophet till the end of time. There are a few things we can do immediately now as I finish this khutbah to work on our own individual commitment. That's the third quality of the da'iyah. We said number one is knowledge, number two is group work, and number three is personal fidelity and integrity. قُوَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا, save yourself from hell. And these are what our scholars called سِجْنُ النَّفْس, you know, the prison of the soul, meaning those things that discipline our soul. And all of us, mashallah, can do these things, and I'll mention them, inshallah, then we'll make dua, and we'll finish, inshallah. But the first is silence. We live in an age that's very expressive, but we are taught to be thoughtful in our words. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُوْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ, whoever believes in Allah in the last day should speak well or remain silent. Communication here means in any form of communication, as Imam al-Maqdisi mentioned in his summary of the Ihya. So pulling away. One time I asked a brother, I said, have you ever thought about like being silent? And he said, what will I do if I'm silent? I said, you'll remember Allah. So silence is an opening to dhikr. And dhikr is an opening to fikr. And fikr is an opening to ma'rifah. And ma'rifah is an opening to al-yaqadha. And al-yaqadha is an opening to tanfidh al-amal li wajhillah. The second is hunger. Now we see, subhanAllah, the challenges of the environment and the destruction of the environment, largely based on consumption. As Muslims, we should see fasting as an act of spiritual resilience and resistance. That's why Sayyidina Imam al-Shafi'i, they ask him, how are you so wise? He said, I never ate till I was full. One time Al-Hasan Basri was sitting with someone, they said, man, I'm stuffed. He said, subhanAllah, a believer eats till he's stuffed. So hunger in the sense of balance, balance being the sunnah, should be brought about through fasting in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third is a sahar, is waking up before fajr and being alone with Allah. وَفِي الْأَزْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, Allah praises those people who do this. So once or twice a week or a month or so, صَلُّوا وَنَاسُ النِّيَامِ, pray when people are sleeping. It's important to wake up and be active in front of Allah. And the last is خِلْوَة, solitude. giving time to heal, being resilient. It's hard, especially Islamic workers. I see this mistake that they work 25 hours a day. And they lose their marriage, they lose their children, they lose themselves. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sa'atun wa sa'a. You know, everything has its appropriate time. La ifrat wa la tafrit. Not being extreme on either way, but being balanced. Khilwa here means taking time. And there's a great book you can read called The Resilient Clinician, where you're taking care of yourself, working out, eating right, doing some kind of hobby, biking somewhere, going fishing, spending time with your kids and your family. Khilwa, being alone in a way that causes us to have healing, because broken people can't heal. Broken people break people. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yataqabbal minna insha'Allah. We ask Allah to accept from us. And we ask Allah to an yuraqiq qulubana, to like soften our hearts and to give us a sense of ribh in our sudur, in our chest, and to give us inshirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us brave enough to forgive others. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us look deep into our heart for those people that we may be holding ill feelings to and animosity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if those reasons are petty and not real, to help us forgive those people. We ask Allah to unite husbands and wives who may be going through marital discord. Ask Allah to bring children back to their parents. Forgive your parents, man. You know, it's not easy raising kids. You'll learn one day. You're not born with an instruction booklet. It's a tough process. So have mercy to your parents. Kama rabbayani saghira. As they had mercy to you when you were small. Ask Allah to forgive our parents who've passed away. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us allies to the brothers and sisters in Palestine. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Syria and Egypt, and our brothers and sisters in the Yemen, and our brothers and sisters in Africa, in Malaysia, in Bosnia, in Afghanistan, in Myanmar, in Bangladesh. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the awliya of those people. We pray for this country, that Allah will help us to be of benefit and a blessing to this country, to make us true servants of what's righteous and good. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and to forgive us and to unite us with our beloved messenger, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.